Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome, listeners out there, listening on the airwaves in London Town. You're listening to K2K Radio. It's 6 p.m. on Friday, the 11th of November. You know what that means, don't you? It's time for the Weekly Bliss. That's right, it's the Weekly Bliss, where the truth we want is the truth you get. I'm your host, Talal Karkouti, and joining us in the studio today, we've got great guests here. We've got an Aussie comedian, General Motormouth, and political activist Damien Clark is here. And also we're joined by Mo Safaf and Esther Manito, great London comedians. But first off, we're going to listen to some tunes, of course. It's a great week to be alive. Everyone's happy out there, grooving and shaking. We've got the first ever female president of the United States. And as we all know, Brexit was a big flop, and the British people are happier and more together than ever. Isn't that great? So to celebrate, we've got the most optimistic playlist ever created. Of course, we're going to start with a throwback. This is S Club 7 with Don't Stop Moving to the funky, funky, funky beat. Be right with you here on the Weekly Bliss on K2K Radio in just a few minutes, folks. Enjoy this little classic here. Yeah, come on. The party started, there's no end in sight. All right, that was S Club 7 with Don't Stop Moving here on the Weekly Bliss on K2K Radio. I'm your host, Talal Karkouti. Great to be alive here. I just had some fantastic news. Got an email update from my Leonard Cohen mailing list, and he's announced a new tour. God, he must be, he's 82 years young and he's still going strong. He must be so happy to, you know, I've seen him live several times in the past, and he always moves me whenever I see him. He's got such a strong message of peace and togetherness and learning from each other's differences. And it must make him swell with pride to see his message living in the real world around him now. And he's doing a celebration tour, a world tour, and I can't wait to see it. I'm really looking forward to that. That's really good news on my end. I hope you're all doing well out there, Dr. Listney, wherever you may be. If you're chilling at home, why don't you turn on the fire, kick your legs up on your armchair, pour yourself a dram of brandy, or maybe like a nice hot herbal tea. Sit there by the fire with your dog and just listen up and enjoy the bliss here on K2K Radio, Radio, Radio. All right, let's get to it. Let's introduce some guests, shall we? All right, joining us in the studio first up is fantastic Aussie comic who moved to he moved over to the UK. How long have you been here now? Like 10 years or something? Based out in Dublin, but you're often traveling around the UK. Damien Clark is here.
Hey, professional drifter. Thank you.
Yes, buddy. How you doing, man?
I'm great. There's a couch here, so I know where I'm staying tonight.
Oh, magical. You're very welcome. You brought your sleeping bag, right?
Totally. Always.
You're always packing
so
ready.
Your phone. Is that, that's your phone, the blue Nokia?
Oh, that's the studio phone.
Oh, I was going to say.
Call in on Kate's.
This is a phone. I just want everyone to hear. Can you hear this? I just dropped it. Totally fine.
Yeah.
Totally fine. I dropped that for at least 4 meters.
That phone cost £8.99.
Right. So call in on this phone.
Yeah, call in. If you want to spread the love, if you want to spread the joy, call in anytime you like. 07845 879 122. We'll be taking calls here on the Weekly Bliss. Demo.
Yeah, man.
You happy chap?
I am. Thanks to hearing the Leonard Cohen still touring.
Yeah, strong. Great news,
And I mean, it's just the only sad news this week was Katie Hopkins died.
So that's
For the family, but happy for the media.
Of course. Well,
that's a good trade-off.
Isn't she'll be missed because it's always, you know, when we have global discourse. It's always good to have an opposing view. Someone, you know, people look at it as a, like they demonize people with the opposite view. But it's really, that's the opportunity to learn and to talk to each other and hopefully, you know, our differences, find what we have in common rather than focus on what makes us different. And that's what Katie Hopkins was always trying to do, you know. She always focused on what people have in common. And
yeah, she's like, I'll be the dartboard.
Yeah.
UK, Britain, come on. I'm going to say everything that's wrong.
A modern-day martyr, I'd say.
Yeah.
How was it she died again?
Microwave accident.
Oh, yeah.
She opened the door too quick. And
baked bean flew right down her throat, didn't it?
I heard it was mac cheese, but I think it was definitely baked beans.
Yeah, it
she's
was.
She's more of a baked beans person.
She had cheese on the beans.
She farts out of her mouth as well as her ass. She did.
Mm-hmm. Firing on all cylinders.
So she has to give... So just... Radioation. That's what it's called, isn't it?
Radioation. That's what we're doing right here, baby.
Yeah, man.
Radioation for the nation. Damo, what are you doing in London, man? What's brought you down to our end?
Getting in Camden tonight, and then I'm going to stay at a guy's couch that I met last year.
I thought you were staying on this couch.
Well,
what's wrong with it?
I don't think I need to go to his house anymore, so I'll just crash here.
Okay.
And then I'm gigging tomorrow somewhere as well. I can't remember.
Okay.
Watford. Oh, no wonder.
If you haven't seen Damian Clark live before, I'm a big fan. I saw you multiple times in Edinburgh, just gone, and I saw you the year before that.
I've
been a fan of yours since I lived up in Manchester.
2012. That's when we met.
Up in the Loft Bar. But you're quite well known for being quite fast-paced, high energy.
Yeah.
And
so I don't have any jokes, but if you just talk fast enough, no one notices until it's too late.
But do you think that's kind of, do you ever find problems with pigeonholing? With kind of, you always get, you're expected to be the one to bring the energy up.
Oh, maybe.
Is that a bit of a burden?
Don't think so. I mean, no one really cares what I do. So that's perfect.
Okay.
You know, like I think if they're laughing, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Then they don't mind, you know. Then they just keep at them. But I bring it down a notch. You know, like last year, there was like a 10-minute break where I drank scotch and like just went nuts, you know, like
in the middle of your show.
Had a mental breakdown. I think you gotta give him a bit of that as well.
It's important. So it's a therapy. It's like it's cheap therapy, isn't it? It's paid therapy,
mate. Yeah, and it's just too much. It's too much fun if there's people there, and that's it's your 20 minutes or whatever it is.
Yeah,
so that you like you gotta get as much in as you can.
What have you been doing this week, man? Anything interesting to share with us? Any cool stories?
What have I done? I was just trying to work out which cafes are popular and why, you know? Because in London especially, you know, I passed like 5 Costas just from the bus stop, Nero's, Pret's. And I think Nero might be my favourite because I don't go to these places very often, but we're comics and we just don't nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Nero has a stamp, like a physical stamp.
Uh-huh.
And the Nero is the one that looks most like a pub, I think, out of all of them.
Okay.
Inside of it. It's got the wooden panelling, a bit of a dim lighting and stuff like that.
That's true.
Costa's good, but they got the old swipe card now.
Yeah, they've gone
not
digital.
A fan.
Loyalty
not a fan
card.
And a Starbucks I hate because they always ask for your name. There's no one else in here, remember who ordered it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Or just call out the drink.
It's very presumptive of them because they're like, yeah, we're so busy all the time.
I know.
We need to have an extra level of bureaucracy when delivering your coffees.
Yeah.
Because...
Do you know what's hilarious? Because they do that. There's Northern Ireland because doing gigs in Northern Ireland. If you're hosting a gig in Belfast or Derry or something, it's not as bad now. But when I started gigging up there like 15 years ago, you go, what's your name? They won't say because even their name gives away... If they're Catholic or Protestant. You know, if you're William, you're Protestant.
Oh, yeah.
If you're Paddy, you know, obviously. So, and they always name themselves like really Irish names or really, you know.
Of course.
Charlie, you know, Protestant.
So how do they get around that?
So like Starbucks has got to go, what's your name in Northern Ireland? And they're like, who's fucking asking? You know what I mean? There's no way they're going to tell them that because they're like, shut up.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Damian. We'll have more chats with you coming up, but let's introduce our next guest now. Our next guest is also... stand-up comic of note, especially in the London scene. She's making real waves at the moment. And I met her at a night a few weeks ago called Arabs Are Not Funny. And I think we proved everyone wrong. Esther Minito is here.
Hello.
What's up? Hi. How you doing?
Applause. Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
I'm trying to figure out if you're the first Arab I've had on the show before.
Has hair this large?
Is it like buses now?
Two at one. You've not been introduced yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. I'll let you off this once, but yeah, do it again, Mustafa.
Let me have my moment.
Mohammed, I'll cut off your hands. I just called him my dad's name by accident. Is that weird?
He looks like a dad, though, doesn't he? He's like a generic Arab dad look. It is.
It's like he's got the medium length beard. The rounded glasses
and the
combed over hair.
He is a
typical Middle Eastern intelligent dad.
He is.
Yeah, one of the kind of
slow nod.
Our version of a hippie.
A bit of a liberal Arab dad.
Like, I understand, child, but you have to be aware of the people's feelings around you. You know, that kind of dad.
That dad.
Not the dad who's like, what? You didn't smack him in the face? Two different types of Arab dads. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Where's your dad from?
He's from Lebanon.
Lebanese.
Yeah.
Have you seen that advert on CNN? There's the international CNN broadcast station. Why do I have to be so technical about it? And there's an advert, and it's a guy in an office, in a skyscraper. And it looks like he's in America, okay? And he's in a skyscraper in an office.
Right.
And he looks a bit like Mo there with the beard. And the glasses,
standard.
But it's all grey. It's quite old. And then his phone rings. And it's brr, brr, picks up, hello, like that. Instantly you notice the accent. And he goes, and then the other voice goes, hello, Khalid. He goes, who's this? And he goes, this is Lebanon calling.
And he's like,
Lebanon. I haven't heard from you in such a long time. And he goes, yes, you left us years ago. And I wanted to let you know, now is the time to come back. Our property market is booming and sales have never been better and you need to get in early to make the most of it.
Yeah.
Khalid, we miss you. Lebanon misses you. Come back, Khalid. And Khalid is like, oh. And then he looks out the window, puts his hand on the window at this great land that he now lives in. He goes, and you see a tear and it says, Lebanon, property.
It's developing. There's got a lot of property going, so it's the place to go.
It's probably cheaper to buy there and commute to London than in London.
Which is what I do.
Yeah.
Oh, so, is it?
Yeah, I just commute daily, I commuted to be here tonight.
I really appreciate it.
From a skyscraper. I live with Khalid.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. He is mine, yeah.
That's why I was crying, because he left for another weekend.
Yeah.
I was
the person on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so that was prior to you two living together?
That was prior, yeah. Okay. We're
How's Khalid doing?
He's fine. You know, he's good. He's good.
So you're an Arab female stand-up comedian?
I'm a bit Arab.
Half Arab. So there's
We've all got our flaws.
The obvious question I've got to ask you.
Yes.
What's your favourite flavor ice cream?
Mint choc chip.
Okay. Estimito, everybody. All right. And finally, joining us in the studio this week on The Weekly Bliss is Mo Safaf.
Mo. Hello.
You've shortened your name, Muhammad, to Mo.
Yeah.
Are you ashamed, Mo?
I'm not ashamed.
What are you ashamed of?
Do you know, it's several things.
It's just so he can chat up girls, really.
That's one of the things.
Girls don't go for Muhammad.
Mo makes it more difficult because it's like, you know, you don't know, like, are they saying your name? Do they want you to stop? You know, it makes it all very awkward.
Mo! Mo!
Yeah, there you go. Straight with the charm. Straight with the charm. I changed it kind of like, first of all, like, I do have a love and appreciation for Islam. I'm not the most religious person, but, you know, Muhammad's a great man. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel that I could emulate that in my life, until I came here to K2K Studios, obviously. But no, it's just that's one of the things.
That's such a good sign of respect.
There is this Islamic thing
about, you know, you can't draw Muhammad.
Yeah.
You can't have pictures of him, or you can't, like, obviously blasphemy in Islam is I want to say it's more serious than in Christianity, but then again, it depends how strong a Christian you are. Well, but when people blaspheme about Muhammad, it's like you've just
it's a big deal.
Killed your own mum or something. So like, but then again, at the same time, they name dumb kids everyone. Muhammad. And it's like, this kid is a baby. It's thick. This kid literally knows nothing.
What are you doing, Muhammad, you silly boy?
Yeah. Like, well, and like, if you respect the name so much, and you're going to name this kid who hasn't read a book in his life Muhammad, like, that's disrespectful.
I found out that
and it's a lot to live up to as well. Yeah. It's massive shoes.
And this
no, he didn't wear shoes.
This is the thing, like Turks, the reason why the name Mehmet is for that reason. They don't call Muhammad. Which I found out relatively recently.
God, learned something new.
Because Mehmet's, it means Muhammad, but it's just like, you know, we won't call Muhammad because there's only kind of one.
So it's just like slang for...
Exact colloquial Mehmet, Muhammad.
Yeah.
Muhammad in the hood.
I learned recently, my mum told me that Dawood is the Arabic version of David.
I knew that one.
Yeah, Dawood. Yeah, I knew about Yaqub, which is Jacob.
Yeah.
But so many names from the Bible, they all have Arabic roots for obvious reasons. Speaking of names... you guys are familiar with the name, like, Abdullah?
Yeah.
Or Abdul Karim? Or, like, in the series Community, there's Abed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Abed means slave.
And
Abdullah means slave to God.
Yeah.
And Abdul Karim is, like, slave to Kareem. I don't know who Kareem is. It's like you're calling your kid that. It's like, my name's slave to God. It's a bit intense. Like, it's so normal. I have so many cousins called Abdullah, and it's like, and it's so normal to me.
Mm.
But if you stop and think about it,
my
name's slave.
My dad's called Abdul Azim, which is a very, it's actually more common in like Egypt. Because I mean, have you heard of anyone? Heard in Syria?
Azim, yeah.
In Syria, though?
Really?
In Syria?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
No, I never lived there. I've been to Syria a few times. But
other Syrians, I mean. Like, potentially. Do you know what I mean? Sorry, I'm getting really pedantic. I don't know why. It's quite... like, here, it's just really difficult. So he just, like... you know, he just calls himself Abid, and you just think that's... so I'm just like, hello, slave, nice to meet you. Do you know what I mean? It translates. It's so right. You're so right.
What's the long version translate as?
Azim is like great. Great.
Azim,
like
best
great.
Of all the slaves.
Okay, guys, it's time for a little something we call Newsish. That's right, it's time for Newsish, where we read a news story from the week and then we talk about that news story from the week, full stop. Here on the Weekly Bliss, we are celebrating progress, democracy.
Woo! Yes.
And I'm just going to flick through a newspaper here and find a news story that we can talk about. I'm gonna go to the mirror.co.uk and go to the weird news page. That's a lot better. Yeah, weird news on Mirror. Oh, that's more like it. Okay. Sex doll firm makes grieving man exact replica of his dead wife wearing her old underwear. Okay, the retired doctor spent nearly $2,000 on the original doll in August, but it soon came apart from overuse. The lonely pensioner who bought a sex doll after his wife's death has been given a new model, one that looks like a young version of his late spouse.
Sorry, pensioner.
Yeah.
Where's this guy live, sorry?
I don't want to assume. Let's wait till we get there.
You're not reading my blog, is basically what I'm asking. Like, it's basically what I'm saying.
His name is Zhang Wenliang. He was 70 years old. He spent nearly $2,000 on the original doll this August as a method of overcoming the grief of losing his wife to cancer. But he suffered another form of bereavement when his doll started coming apart from overuse.
Oh, Wang.
He's from Chongzhou City in southwestern China, in the Sichuan province. He saw his story spread across the country earlier this year when pictures of him and a doll went viral.
So there's.
Let's have a little look at
there
him.
There he is with his doll.
No, oh, I don't. Yeah. No, she's and that's like, pretty that's realistic. That's not what she looked
she's
like.
She's not too bad.
Yeah,
she's alright.
Yeah, he hasn't really had a replica made of his wife because she didn't look like that at 70 years old. Let's face
not
it.
Not at 70.
Oh no, that's
oh, no
the
it's a,
one,
he
it?
Ordered a younger
yeah,
version.
Yeah, so he's now got a young weird doll wearing old lady clothing.
Yeah,
it's a niche
that's
market,
true. Which it's is falling so apart.
Yeah.
So is he? So wait, so both of the dolls died.
There's only one doll.
There's only one
well,
doll.
Well, his original doll was his wife.
Was his wife,
and
okay.
She's dead.
And she's dead.
Unfortunately, obviously, unfortunately. And there's a picture here with them on the couch, but there's his wife doll seems
is that
to
head
have.
Off?
Well, her head's on, but there seems to be a spare.
Oh, he's got two heads.
Spare face, at least.
Okay, so one someone.
So
to
is
look
this?
On in disgust.
Is this a?
Yeah.
Just like you get a free judging head with every doll purchase.
I think if he's got that one spare, like you know where he's using it most probably.
Now
like,
it's easy for us to jump to judgment and conclusions here, but let's just focus on the facts. Okay, he's 70.
Yeah.
He's a retired doctor. He spent a life serving as a doctor. And his wife died of a horrible disease.
Well, he's a pretty shit doctor then, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
He may well have just wanted the doll all along.
Dun, dun, dun.
So suspicious.
Well, my question was going to be, is this
Zhang
actually,
like the name of a villain anyway.
Considering, yeah. You know, this wouldn't have been possible 10 years ago or 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's a product of technology advancing. So is this a healthy way of grieving?
No.
Straight up no from Damien there.
I
don't think so. I don't think so.
I would have probably gone for a different model. Move on.
Oh.
Yeah. Different
doll.
Looks like your wife.
Yeah. Like
just
maybe
like put
just
it
like
over a fire for a little bit till it melts slightly.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think are the dangers of grieving this way?
You're just never going to get over her, are you? Yeah, you got to just go for, like, I don't know, Cheryl
a person,
Cole, Lana
maybe,
Del
yeah.
Rey. Yeah, just go for something celebrate. Yeah,
somebody
celebrate.
You might be able
a
to
person,
speak.
Exactly. Sorry, I didn't even, that wasn't even the first thing that came through my mind. Like, what, where the hell am I in? God forbid I have to grieve at any point over any loved ones.
Like, well, he could have really missed his wife, let's face it, if he just needs a doll to replace her. Because
that's a good point.
He could have just
a different thing.
He could have just stuck
and he's,
it anywhere.
Yeah,
really.
He's clearly using it for
and,
something more than other things because it's broken from overuse. It's falling
it
apart.
I think
it doesn't
unless,
say how long.
Unless
it,
he's
it
just really into swing dance and that's what.
And
they
he's
doing.
Been flinging it around.
And he's just been flinging it
that's
around.
Good.
Yeah,
well, roller skates on the on its
yeah. Yeah, they've been going around roller disco, like, swing dancing,
tango. Yeah, that's a
tango,
jazzercise. Yeah.
It doesn't say, however...
He's overworked it out.
It doesn't say, however, how long they were together.
The
so
doll
like
or the wife?
Him and his wife.
Right.
And, you know, you could guess that they were together, like, since teenage years. And yeah. if you're gonna be with someone for, like, 50 years or something, it's
hard.
It can be... And then suddenly that person's gone. How are we to know what that feels like or what that's even...
Yeah, we won't know. But, I mean, he probably doesn't even know how to work Tinder or whatever. So he can go to the post office and do an order, a doll, or buy it. I'm sure his internet skills aren't the best.
Yeah. Lot easier to
I think
work
his
a doll
internet
in
skills must be pretty on point for him to get a doll.
Yeah.
But he could meet someone on the internet.
Exactly.
Instead of being
with
lazy and getting an object that's cold,
but
lying there.
But to be fair, though, like when you get to that age, like how easy is it to just go out and meet people on the internet? Is there, yeah. I don't know, is there abundance?
Is
there
an
old
age?
It must be an OAP.
Is there an old person
like,
Tinder?
Tinder type thing, but I don't know, like is there?
I don't know if you guys have noticed, but
I don't
there's
know.
Old people bloody everywhere.
Yeah,
there's
true.
Old people everywhere you go.
And there
just
must be
go into any post office and stand in a queue. Go into a bank.
That's true. There must be
go
a billion
true.
In China.
There's always old people. Just but, try, if you go...
Well, he okay.
Make an appointment, go somewhere, and be in a rush, and go into the tube. There'll be 15 old people in front.
Well, look, doctor's surgery.
This would have this would have happened.
There.
He would have been in the queue at the post office with his form in his hand for the doll.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he would have been standing in the queue, looking around him at other people his age, and he, in that point, would have looked around him and made the choice. No, this doll's going to be better
but
for them.
Maybe
for me
in
than
China,
these.
Post offices could be filled with like really hip and happening people. It might be a really young
that's
hangout
true.
Scene in China. May not be like the UK. So
didn't think about that.
Could be.
Exactly. So it might be harder than we think.
Well, there must be a billion more old people in China as well. Anyway, So yeah. Surely it must be easier to bump into them.
Because they live healthy, they have better diets, and there's got a weird thing in China where you respect your elders.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah.
Like Westerners don't give a shit about it.
Yeah.
I can't believe that. No.
But like, yeah, so that, I think if you're one of those sort of people that go for inanimate objects, I think that was a part of him all along that his wife just wouldn't have understood. And now that she's gone, he jumped on board.
Yeah.
Literally.
So when you hear about, in general, when you hear about someone who has a sex doll, is that instantly you like, that guy's a creep or that person's a creep?
Yeah.
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 But if I was a weird thing.
But then again,
person,
we sit around shagging our hands and our socks and stuff when we don't have another person.
Because they're free.
Yeah, that's true.
But actually, you're making an investment.
Go out and buy a hand.
You're making an investment.
You're actively taking steps to be creepy.
Listening to this on the podcast, I can assume that you probably listen to other podcasts. And a really popular sponsor on podcasts these days is that Fleshlight. And various sex toy websites and stuff. And so they're like really, really popular, these Fleshlight things. Yeah. And you can like get them with different patterns on the inside. And does everyone here know what a Fleshlight is?
No,
yeah.
I've never heard of it.
Well, I listen to a lot of podcasts.
I don't believe that to now. I think you've got a blob doll at home with some old lady's hat on it. That's what the...
Are they sponsoring us? Did you just need to get that in like right now?
Not going to deny anything because I don't want to outcast any of our potential listeners out there who may have these interests.
Your niche audience of old men with sex dolls.
Yeah, that's it. That target demo. But I did, speaking about the creepy thing, so I had a friend who lived in Japan for many years, and it's like different. Right. Well, I mean, obviously we're talking about this not too far from there, but he was saying, I mean, you could go into a pawn shop and they've got like communal sex dolls.
What? Like,
yeah, I swear. Whoa. And it's like, $10, like a part, like you get 15 minutes for like $10.
Oh,
I go there.
Cheap, actually, yeah.
How much would you charge, David?
Yeah, 8 quid.
Or how much have you paid? with your Starbucks card? Like, you got like a membership or whatever.
You've got to give your name, that's the problem.
Yeah, that's true.
I was thinking I should get a Fleshlight would be good, actually, because...
I don't know what that is, you keep saying it.
It's a torch, and on the end it's a vagina.
Oh.
Like a cast of a rubbery vagina. But it lights up, doesn't it?
Is that why it's called a flashlight?
So you could find it in the dark, but wouldn't that be great if like there was someone like breaking into your house?
I don't think it lights up.
Is this sort of for like sex attackers to replicate down dark alleys?
You know, or you're like,
man, sticking your dick in a light bulb, in a light socket, is what you're suggesting.
Well, maybe that's why that's how it came.
Yeah, that sounds like it's got definite safety issues.
But wouldn't it be great if you saw a glowing vagina heading for you if you're a burglar? They'd leave the house.
Like, or they go in.
That's terrifying.
Well, it probably doesn't light up. So I misunderstood what the hell that thing was. I've seen a picture of
it.
It's
called a Fleshlight because it looks like a Fleshlight. And I promise to you, guests and doctor listening out there, I promise to you, I only know this because I listen to Kevin Smith's podcasts, and he always goes on about Fleshlights. He's heavily sponsored by Fleshlight.
Uh-huh. Wow. And we're not, but we just think it's interesting. So.
Well, I wish I knew that because I didn't know
dildos.
What one was before.
Dildos,
I like the way you just turned to me and just go, dildos. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
It's been around for ages. It's just taken us even longer to get.
I suppose that is a male dildo, isn't it, really? If that, equivalent sort of thing.
Yeah. I guess because...
So has anyone got one? What's going on here?
The willy is still quite, like, handy if it wasn't attached to a bloke. You know, you could tenderise meat with it, or if it was a tough one, you could whack it.
Tap people out the way on the tube and things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm. And vaginas are great for storing things, but, I mean, like... Like a purse.
Mm-hmm. just a purse, but just
vaginas are like purses. That's a good slogan for life.
That you can keep things in it. Only from the Bangkok shows I've seen.
Do you reckon when Zhang gets to the front of the post office queue, he like puts out a Fleshlight and like picks out like some coins to pay for his like
he's the kind of guy to do that.
All his accessories are sex doll related.
Interesting.
His key ring and everything.
All right, moving on, guys, to our next news story. That was fascinating talk there. Here's another news story for you folks. All right, this looks like fun. Top secret codes and rules of Disney cast members and employees revealed. All right. The House of Mouse has some pretty strict guidelines on maintaining that Disney magic. It's touted as a place where anything, including magic, can happen. As adults, we may take this sentiment with a vat of salt. However, there's no denying there's an almost mythical secrecy shrouding details of what it's like to work at Disney World. This is, in part, motivated... Oh, come on, get to the stuff.
Get to the codes.
Okay, so here we go. Here are the rules. Breaking character. Under no circumstance are Disney cast members allowed to break character while in costume. It's said, even if they're ill, it's all about it's all about upholding the character, upholding the magic. You.
Vomit everywhere, Princess Jasmine.
Yeah, what's wrong, Jasmine? Got indigestion. This extends to accurately personifying the very attitudes and every nuance of the character, right down to their signatures. Oh yeah, because I've been Disney World, and you get them to sign your book, and they sign it obviously in character. Oh. Donald Duck, and not Donald Duck. Oh, is it Donald? Not Daffy. Yeah, Donald. Disney is, in fact, provides training. So they train their staff highly on this to get their character spot on. Don't expect a cast member to reveal the character they're playing in moment and the time. Yeah, what do you think of that? So maintaining the character even if you're sick or in emergencies.
I'd bags.
What if there was a fire?
Jiminy Cricket. He was the only one that got sick in the Oh, I'm sure there'd be more.
Dumbo got drunk.
No, yeah,
that's true. He was tripping.
So they go, what's wrong, Dumbo? I'm just enacting that scene.
Just in character.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. So we could do Jumbo, and then Jiminy was like smoking a cigar, and he.
I don't remember that. I've just had a flashback.
Pinocchio is a bit of a kind of messy film anyway. Yeah. It's pretty fucked up. Yeah. So
it's one of their most intelligent,
dodgy,
traumatic. The whole donkey scene was terrifying.
Yeah, it's really traumatic. Yeah,
it's totally terrifying. Yeah, really traumatic.
Oh, with the big teeth in the ears.
Yeah.
But there's a whole town that Disney employees live in called. Celebration.
I thought you were going to say Creep Town.
Called Celebration, and you live there. Yeah, and you can buy a house, but there's loads of rules, and your houses have to look uniform, and you're not allowed to have certain things, and it's really creepy, really intense.
Any sex? Everyone's just kissing only, boyfriends and girlfriends.
Well, there's no sex in the Disney films anyway. Only, so it's like that's
the rules apply of Disney movies.
Well, in the town.
In the town.
Creep town.
In Creep Town, there's no sex.
No sex, no alcohol.
How do they know?
You smoke, you have to be a villain.
Or Jiminy Cricket.
So you have to be evil. Only evil people can smoke.
That's amazing.
What other rules do they have in Creep Town Celebration?
No tattoos, no piercings. No Asbos, apparently, in Creep Town. Damien's not allowed there.
No.
You've been banned. Yeah.
Oh, there's no Aussies allowed either.
No Arabs are allowed, apart from Jasmine.
Uh-huh.
Jasmine
isn't it funny how in Aladdin, all the good characters speak with American accents, even though they're all Arabs, and all the bad characters have Arab accents.
I never even thought about that. I can't believe that.
Or English.
You know what the punishment for stealing is, don't you?
Well, there is a big divide in Agrabah. There is a huge divide. There is a big white-brown divide.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Aladdin, I don't know if you noticed, but he actually gets progressively whiter as the film goes on.
Sequels in the series. Yeah. All right, some more Disney rules. You want some more Disney rules?
Yes, please.
All right, fancy becoming a cast member? Well, there are physical guidelines. Oh, wow. If you fancy your chances as a Disney princess, it's alleged you need to be between 5'4" and 5'8".
Oh.
too tall?
That's my dream fucked, yeah.
As for the men, sorry, Damien and Mo, both of you, it will apply to you and me. Forget about that beard you've been lovingly cultivating since the initial bum fluff sprouting.
It only took me a couple of weeks anyway.
As a Disney employee, you have to be clean shaven.
What if you've got a big head on?
Yeah,
like a woody head or a buzz or whatever. Like a lot of them wear heads. Like Mickey Mouse and all that?
They've got a picture of one of the dwarves from Snow White and it's got a beard.
Yeah, he's got a beard.
Well, yeah, the fake heads, but they're
talking
about you.
But the dwarves had beards.
Underneath. Yeah, but yeah.
But the dwarves had beards. So, you can't deny them beards.
They've got the big fake heads. They're talking about your actual face, guys.
So yeah. No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, why would your face...
Yeah, why does it matter under the big head?
If you're covering up with a big head, I think is the point.
Because there's other Disney staff who don't wear big heads. They're talking about everyone who works at Disney World.
Oh.
Okay, clean shaven, no body art or unique piercings. No visible tattoos. Strictly prohibited. One ear piercing for women.
What do you mean?
And that's that.
One each ear.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Not just one ear.
One anywhere. Just one. just one piercing anywhere.
Just clanging around.
Frowning is forbidden.
Well, that's good though. Most Lebanese women adhere to that. No frowning, because then you get wrinkles. So
that'd be good in the UK. Stiff upper lip.
Yeah.
Even if you're sick as well, and no chewing gum.
That's fair enough. I hate chewing gum.
And no smoking.
You have to repress the vomit and not frown. That's quite hard.
That's hard.
If you're ill. Yeah.
No frowning.
No frowning.
I guess that's the one rule you can get away with if you're wearing a big head. You can frown as much as you like.
You can.
You're like, oh, just give me the dwarf costume. Then I can.
No frown.
I'm too tall for the dwarf costume. Too tall to be a princess. I just have to be like the genie or something for Aladdin. I think that's the only character.
Sought after. He's got a pierce. He's got piercing.
He does. Yeah,
but he doesn't have two legs. So how does that work out?
Maybe you just have to walk around like a slug.
I think the same
just like a seal, just chinning my way along the pavement. Do I look good enough now?
Little Mermaid, just together in like one roll, like roller skate each. Just
where they've had their legs actually sewn together.
They give you a magic lamp that is kind of
on roller.
Yeah, on
blades.
Wheels.
Yeah, on wheels. Yeah.
A little motorized.
I don't know if it's worth it. You can't be paid enough.
No,
that's what I think. I think
you
it's
don't
just
think it's
go
like
work in McDonald's.
Dream job to work in Disney World?
No,
be goofy and stuff?
I'm just surprised that Walt Disney, you know, has actually imposed the fascist regime he always wanted.
Yeah, he's got it.
On his own employees.
Slaves everywhere.
Kudos to him. Abbots.
Abbots everywhere.
Abbots everywhere.
I worked in the Disney store for about 4 months when it opened in Melbourne.
Did you have these rules?
They had the beard rule. Unless it was a fully formed, like no one that I knew had a beard there. But so I was clean shaven and the sideburns couldn't go past the top of, like where your ear starts at the top of your head.
Whoa, that's high.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I, the job was terrible actually. It was horrible because retail is really slow anyway. And you had to, it was really fake because they go, you have to greet everybody when they come in.
Yeah, it's really intense in the Disney store. I can't handle it.
They're like, hi, how are you? And you're going, I'll help everybody, but like naturally. Not forced. You can tell when people are just ducking to look at something and then leave again. You know what I mean? You know. And
it's about that reputation, though, man. They're like, if there's one crack in the in the perfect Disney wall, that's you know, it's a weak link.
I didn't want to be a weak link, but every time I shaved, I let it come. My sideburns get a bit low.
That was your way of rebelling.
Oh, that was great.
Until they fired
got to
you.
The bottom of my ear. Yeah, I got sacked.
And then one day you just rode in on a motorbike.
Whatever, girl.
Just,
just vomited all over the store.
And frowned at them. They're like, get out. There
could be a Disney story itself, just like the birth of a villain. Like, you know, like he actually, like he worked like for a company. And then like suddenly just like he got sacked and like he just wanted to impose his revenge.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you see.
That would be really mad.
Love the way you have to say revenge in Arabic.
I don't know why. See,
and you have to employ the revenge.
Yeah. I'd love that. If Disney made Disney Store the movie.
Disney Store the movie. There you go.
And they had like all the staff at the Disney Store fighting against this big villain who wants to take him down. Amazing.
Because then that's all of the characters from Disney and Pixar and that could be in it.
Oh, yeah.
Fighting the villains. Yeah. And then everyone that has been done injustice from Disney World or like any of the shops. Man, that would be a bloody wicked film.
There you go. You heard it here today. You heard it here today.
Smashing bricks through the windows. Look, this relates.
Disney.
Who wants some more Disney rules?
Yes.
Secret codes. Sure. Cast members are rays of brilliant sunshine most of the time. But if you're rude or if you've annoyed them in some way, listen out for some specific words. Have a Disney day is apparently what staff members say when at the end of their dealings with a difficult customer. Everyone needs to let off some steam. So if they got a really annoying kid and that they hate, instead of saying, I hope you die, they'll say, have a Disney day.
I Disneyed all over that kid. that kid can go Disney. So.
While on the topic of language at Disney, when it comes to dealing with an overexcited child's vomit, or any accident for that matter, there's a special code for that too. Staff will go on the radio and say code V. So as to not draw attention to the pile of sick steaming in the sun. Wow. As unfortunately, as well as getting sick, kids do sometimes wander off or get lost. So in that case, for safety reasons, you'll never hear a cast member say lost child.
Oh, what will they say?
They'll always say lost adult.
What?
Oh, as in the mum or dad is lost, not the kid.
Yeah, right.
Why
yeah,
is that?
Right,
because right. having a lost kid is sadder.
They don't want the kid to hear lost child. It's negative. They're like, oh, your like daddy, oh, your see. Daddy is lost. Your mummy is lost.
Yeah,
not
this
you.
Kid is where it's supposed to be.
It's positive reinforcement.
That's a very good idea. Your parents are idiots.
I like that one.
That's a really good idea.
I like that one.
That is a good idea. You're a mother, right? So what do you think?
I am. Sure. Thanks for reminding me. Sure. God, where are they? have I ever been lost? Yes. I've been lost in Westfield whilst my daughter was exactly where she should have been. Yeah, that was exactly how that should have played out.
You think about in the supermarket, it happens rarely. You'll hear on the tannoy, like, lost child at the information desk, if anyone will come.
Yeah.
You can imagine that kid standing there being the centre of this negative attention, lost child. Here it is. You might have a neon sign over him. I think that's quite a nice touch to say.
Your parents are lost.
Yeah, we're looking for a lost mum. Your kid... Derek is here at the.
Oh, okay. Works.
Yes, I approve of that one. You're all looking for approval. Well done. Well done, Talao. That's exactly how that should be.
The music, which is played constantly over the tannoy, also plays a part in the instance a child gets lost. Disney's standard policy is to never turn the music off. The only exception they make is in emergencies, such as when a child wanders off. So it's important to listen to whatever announcement causes the music to stop. Well, that was an interesting mirror, weird news. All right, and final rule. Disney World may be a riot of color and fantasy, but that doesn't mean it's exempt from penny-saving measures. Apparently, as recently as 2001, cast members had to share underwear.
No!
Oh, come on!
Wow.
That's a bit much.
Because of because of the intricacy of many of the costumes, specific underwear was required, like tights, bike shorts, even jock straps.
Jock straps?!
Yuck straps.
Dolls as well?
Yeah. Tights, underwear?
Tights.
Fleshlight.
If they're under other clothes, then probably.
Yeah. Employees have also claimed many of the items weren't clean when they were initially handed them.
Gross.
It's a bit weird.
Cast members allegedly have contracted lice or scabies.
Especially in the parts of the Caribbean.
And then you're not allowed to be ill. So you have to wear diseased clothing, and then you're not allowed to itch or vomit
or frown.
Mommy,
why is Goofy touching his pat himself? Yeah. Why does he keep scratching
his bum?
Have
a Disney day, kid.
Disney, you little motherfucking
Disney day.
That's great. Smash my Disneying Disneys.
Yeah.
All right, who wants a bit more music?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's listen to some music. All right, this is... you're listening to The Weekly Bliss here on K2K Radio. Yeah, let's have a jingle.
Weekly Bliss.
Weekly Bliss.
Let's do one of those things where we harmonise. Yeah, I'll start. Weekly Bliss.
Weekly Bliss. Beautiful.
This is Pharrell Williams with Happy, because we're celebrating the first ever female president and... the failure of the Brexit campaign. Well done, the world. You've proved yourself to be true hippies. This is Happy by Pharrell Williams, followed by Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby McFerrin.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Everybody's got surfing USA. Kamana, la radio K2K.
This is Kilburn to Kensal Radio.
That's right, this is Kilburn to Kensal Radio, k2kradio.com. And you're listening currently to The Weekly Bliss with me, your host, Talal Karkouti. Yes, The Weekly Bliss, the opportunity to take your mind off of everything dark and doom and gloom and focus on the positive. And we live in bliss for 2 hours every week. Damien Clark was here in the first half. He sadly had to leave. He's doing a gig out in Camden tonight. Very much appreciate his appearance on the show. However, if you liked his sound and you want to find out more about him and see him in the future doing a live show, go to DamienClark.com. That's DamienClark.com, Damien Clark. But still in the studio, not rushing off anywhere, is Esther Manito and Mo Safaf.
Yay!
Yes,
yay.
Woo indeed. You guys doing well?
Yeah.
I got some messages from my dad while we were talking. My dad, Mustafa, he's always listening at home. I much appreciated that. He wanted to inform me about some other names that follow the word Abid. Abdul Karim, Abdul Azim, Abdul Hakim. They're all other descriptions of God. You know, we know in Islam you've got the 99 names of God. Yeah, so Kareem, which means
generous.
Like generous, Azim. Was that your dad?
Oh, Azim is my dad.
Yeah, Abdul Azim. Yeah. It's like that's greatness. Right. What's Hakim? Well, let's find out. Because that leads us nicely to our next portion of the show. It's a little something we call daddy issues.
She's crazy like a fool.
What about Daddy Cool?
That's right, it's time for Daddy Issues, the portion of the show where we listen to a pre-recorded interview I do with my dad. Basically, every week I sit down with my dad and we play a game of word association. And then when something interesting comes up, I ask him a question about it. And he tends to tell us stories about his upbringing in northern Syria, in the town of Latakia. In Syria, you guys aware of Latakia?
Yeah, yeah.
Ladiyeh. In Arabic.
I've been there before, actually.
You've been there?
Yeah.
Oh, me too, yeah. It's beautiful. I think, absolutely beautiful place.
It is stunning. It is stunning. Yeah, not to be confused with Tartus, the other city, which is not as nice, actually.
Yeah?
I've not been there. Well, put it this way. I went there once, and genuinely, there was like a massive abandoned barge and there was like an oil like spill around it.
Oh.
And I remember like those are the days where like you're a kid and you think that's quite fun to go into.
Oh yeah.
And let you swim into the oil, but it's like suddenly your body turns cold.
You did it?
Of course, man. We were trying to climb the barge. Like there's like a little ladder and shit. And, you know, you're like 10 or something. You know.
Oh my God. So you had the experience that countless seabirds have to go through.
Yeah.
Oh, poor guy. It's
my middle name. Seabird.
That's similar. My dad tells me stories about when he was a kid, he'd dive into the sea in Latakia and they'd find shipwrecks and they'd like do free diving.
Wow, that's cool.
So they'd have some goggles and they'd just dive into these shipwrecks and look for like stuff. And
that's pretty cool.
Catch fish and stuff. Yeah, it's like.
It's more sandy, right?
It's an adventure.
Like the beach is sand, like under the water. Like the. You know, do you know what I mean?
It's beautiful sand, golden sand.
Like with Tartus, it was like all like sahar, we call it, like, you know, massive rocks, like jagged rocks.
Pebble
like
beach.
So when you get into the sea, it's just like
it's a minefield.
You got to have like flip flops on or something.
Ouch.
Anyway, I digress.
Go swimming with your flip flops. Standard.
Yeah, my
standard
arrow thing.
As we've heard in previous daddy issues, my dad lived quite a Huckleberry Finn lifestyle, like adventure. You know, swinging, jumping, climbing, shooting, and hunting, and like life of adventure. So we're going to listen to another segment of my dad's life with daddy issues. So I'll just take you to me interviewing my dad. And if you guys, after the clip, have any questions, or we'll obviously have a free form conversation afterwards about whatever he's talking about. And we may even call the man himself and have a chat with him. Awesome. All right, here we go. Daddy issues.
All right, thanks, me. This is me here at the Karkouti residence with my dad, Mustafa.
Hello.
Hi. We got Friends on in the background as usual. You like Friends, Dad?
Yeah, I love them, yeah.
Yeah, what's your favourite thing about Friends?
They're all nice. Sense of humour, quick, fast.
All right. Okay, let's play word association and then we'll find inspiration for a question and a story. Okay?
Okay, let's see.
All right, let's see. Our first word. Mm-hmm. Ridicule.
Laugh.
Laugh. I like this one already. Were you ever bullied at school or anything?
Oh, yeah.
You were?
Of course.
I can't imagine that.
Everybody did. Everybody did. I think, yeah. I mean, relatively speaking, not as bad as others. But I had good, closed relationship with other bullies in the school.
No.
Whom I sought their defense and protection against others. So in this way, I was in a better position than a lot of other people.
Could you go into that a bit more? What do you mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had a very close one. His name, Abdullah. He was a wrestler.
Really. Well, like a Greek style.
Lightweight.
Greco-Roman.
Lightweight wrestler, professional, on the level of our town.
Yeah.
The province. And even though at that early age, you're talking about what? 15, 16 years old or something. He had always thick ears.
Cauliflower ears.
Cauliflower ears and all that. He was shorter than me, but really harder, stiff, tough guys. And one of his hobbies, for example, while sitting in the classroom, he was sitting next to the wall, you know, the desk. He would bang his head against the wall. That was his daily exercise. Sort of, and you know, and we would hear the boom in that classroom once.
And that was a hobby of his.
Hobby of his, and a daily exercise.
What?
And that's
that like tolerance to pain, trying to train
well,
his.
That's one of it, and at the same time, it was kind of the indirect warning that he was there.
Oh yeah, okay.
You know, so
bloody house, like an animal marking his territory.
He was. A bully.
Bully.
A bully, but a very close friend of mine who really liked me, and he declared that he was protecting me. So in this way, I was saved from other
So he just
bullies.
He took a liking to you. What did you provide to him for him to give you that?
His company is you know, when he goes into a fight or something with other people, so I'll stand behind him or something. So just not physically, but sort of.
We always need backup in case the other
cheering.
Ones.
No, cheering him. Yeah. He doesn't. He never needed backup. I mean, in the court here, in the yard at school, we had the land was not flat. It was just like the road outside, like a village road, full of stones and all that.
Like gravel? Oh, yeah. This is in the northern town of Latakia, of Syria.
Yeah. So he would, during the break, lunch break or something, the other exercise he used to have, he would have a stone, throw it up high and hit it with his head, you know.
Daddy sounds like a psycho.
Well, it is as if it was a ball, but...
Yeah, he sounds crazy, this guy.
Well, I mean, he was fun. No, he wasn't really.
Did he end up with brain damage in the end?
No, never.
So, real quick, what is it you need protection from? Like, what an example of something, a time maybe he saved you for...
Yeah, I mean, you know, once I was attacked by a bully who wanted to... who probably hated me or something because I was friendly with others or something. So... during the break home, you know, at the end of the school, he stopped me at the door, at the entrance, as we were leaving the school, and he hit me or something.
Did he say anything to you first?
I don't know, I can't remember, but something like, "You listen, you bastard," or something like that. And he hit me on the face.
You listen, and then he hit you. That was what he wanted
immediately. I mean, he didn't give me a chance to even raise my hand. And Abdullah was there, came to the rescue and push the other fellow. Since that day, we became very close, me and
Wow. Finally, what kind of names did you get called? Yani, were there any names that were repeated a lot? Like, Yani, I got called a fat Arab a lot at school. Yeah, and like a kind of a lot, the different people would call me the same thing. Was there like a nickname or like a mean name you got called a lot?
Not I remember of.
What was it about you that people would pick on?
Let me remember. You're talking about now about 60 years, 50, 55 years ago.
Yani, what made you a dork? What made you weird when you were a school kid?
I wasn't. We used to call other names, but I don't remember people calling me names. You know, I remember there was one in our school, was bloody clever. He was probably the cleverest guy, especially in math. All of us, we hated him because he always got the top marks. He was from the countryside. He was very slim, blondish, bluish eyes, very tiny eyes. We used to call him Abu Bres.
That's like a lizard, a gecko.
A lizard, yeah, because of his shape and all that. But really the reason was because of our hate of him, because he was bloody clever.
Who does he think he is, getting top marks? What an asshole. He's just making everyone look bad, isn't he?
Well, no, he was so nice. He was never aggressive. Never, ever.
Oh, poor guy.
He always got himself in trouble just because he was bloody clever.
Oh.
Nothing else. I felt sorry for him sometimes.
Well, I bet he did all right in his adult life. If he was
I think he's probably
an engineer now.
Well,
or something.
I hope so. So I wasn't really a subject of naming names, if you see what I mean.
Of being nicknamed.
Being nicknamed or anything. Because I was average, sort of.
So you weren't one of the cool kids?
Yes.
Oh, you were?
Oh, yes.
I'll get you.
Yeah.
All right, Dad, you big bully. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Take care. See you next week.
Bye.
And that was Daddy Issues featuring my dad, Mustafa Karkouti. Hope you guys enjoyed that. What do you think? Initial reactions, Mo, Esther?
I mean, it was like listening to my dad, really. I'm hoping my dad wasn't the bully or anything like that. I'm joking.
My dad was in a separate country, so he definitely didn't bully your dad.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Well, we have a rare treat here. Joining us on the line is Mustafa Karkouti. Hello, Ooh. Mustafa.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you? Can you guys hear him?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Great stuff. You're on the air. This is Mohammed Safaf and Esther Monito here with us, Dad.
Marhaba.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's all Arabs. We're all Arabs here. This is very rare occasion for the Lil Show. Arab is a four-letter word, but it's one of the good ones. guys, do you have any questions?
But there is no F in it, by the way.
Firstly, you texted me earlier about names with Abd before them.
Yeah,
that was quite interesting, Bob. Anything to add to that?
No, what I meant is, you know, when you the word Abd, like for example Abdullah, it doesn't necessarily mean the slave of Allah.
Oh.
It is the believer of Allah. Because the word Abd in Arabic got different meaning as well. One of them is a slave, but one of them is a follower or a believer. But of course, in this case, since it is Allah, God, the most divine things on in the world, so it is a follower, it's a believer.
Okay, all right, great. I'm glad
so
we've... I'm,
Allah...
Oh, okay.
Allah,
yeah.
the word Allah
yeah.
has got so many descriptions in Arabic. It's over 70 descriptions.
I thought it was 99.
Oh, 99 maybe. I don't think it's 99, but it is certainly over 70. When you say Abdullah, okay, that's understandable. But when you say Abdul Karim, Al-Kareem is generous.
Yeah.
So this is a description of Allah as well. Then Abdul is the fast steady.
Okay, steady. Dad, we get it. Okay, very good. We understand, pups. Thank you for your informative input there.
All right.
But our guests might have some questions for you about your horrible bullying past, or perhaps about the story they just heard. Oh,
I don't mind to stay online with you, but you know you might bore people talking about daddies and all that. That's too much air time you are giving me.
Dad, you're not boring. You're not boring at all.
Okay, fine.
The
fair
first
enough.
Thing
if
Mo
you
said.
Think I'm not.
The first
no,
thing.
No, I'm worried. I'm worried about your listeners because you know.
Oh, fuck the
know.
Listeners, Bob. Fuck the listeners.
No.
No.
The first thing Mo said when we started playing your tape was that you sound like his dad.
Like his dad?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, very similar.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, very well, I mean, and probably like Esther's dad. Yeah. I think we all both looked at each other and it was like, you know, very, very similar mannerism, you know, the way you talk. Well, I suppose it must be. Dad. I don't know if he's not from anywhere far, you know. My dad's from Halab, from Aleppo.
Yeah, lovely people, Aleppo, by the way. I had so many friends in my class from Aleppo. I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And Aleppo, by the way, it's my favorite city in Syria, not Damascus, not even Latakia, where I was born.
Really?
Aleppo is my favorite.
Actually, my dad says the same.
It's an inspiring city.
But what is Aleppo?
Full of ingenuity, you know. Yeah. I mean, the food there—it's so delicious as well.
I just should say now, my dad works for the Aleppo Tourist Board. if you fancy a trip to Aleppo, the prices are really good at the moment. You can get yourself a package holiday from thomascook.com.
I hear the lira is still better than the pound at the moment. That's what I hear. But yeah,
guys, any questions about the story we heard Dad telling at all? If we go back to the bullying and the guy who was smashing rocks on his head.
No, it's enough. There's no more questions.
Dad, I'm the host of this show. Okay,
I'm in control here.
I love the fact that you bullied, or no, you didn't bully someone, but I love the fact that people got bullied because they were good at maths. I think that's brilliant.
But
it's not the geeky thing.
That happens here, though, really.
Well, I don't know, but it's that thing in the Middle East, isn't it? It's like everyone wants to be the best at maths.
Yeah,
and the
I
one
guess so,
who
yeah.
is the best at maths is the one who gets gunned down.
Is that
here, it's more like who dresses like a weirdo rather than...
Because I remember, actually, you might be right, because I remember I was actually, when I moved to Bromley, I was put in a lower set. So I grew up in East London, uh-huh. and then I moved to Bromley, and I was put in a lower set, and I joined in year 9, and when I did the SATs, I was the only person in the school to get level 8 for maths.
Oh.
It's like, yeah, so it was a big, and rather than getting bullied for it, everyone in my school was like, he's representing, and everyone came and shook my hand.
Because you did so bad at maths.
Like, as in, like, everyone, like queued up. And
So, Dad, how do you feel about that? Like, nowadays, people are celebrated for being the best at maths, but in your day, they became victims for being the best at maths. Are you ashamed of your actions?
Well, I wasn't that bad, in a way. Oh. But, you know, at that age, you... envy them because of their cleverness.
There it
because
is.
Of their brilliance. You wish to be like them, but you can't. So the alternative is to bash them on their head.
That's a good response, I think. I think, beat up the guy who's good at maths. Well done, Mustafa. You're right. You're right to do what you did. I stand by that.
I'm really proud of you, Bob.
If Abdullah has two rocks and he throws one rock, how many is left?
Oh, wait, Dad's saying goodbye.
See
you later, Dad.
Goodbye. Lovely to speak to you.
To you.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you, Baba. Bye.
Enjoy the rest of the show.
Hey,
bye-bye.
Dad, wait, before you go.
Yeah.
What's Mum making for dinner?
we have already lentil soup and spaghetti.
Okay, oh. What a mix. What a mix. Okay. It's very Mediterranean. All right, thanks, Bob.
And I'm enjoying my drink with lettuce.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very good.
He likes to drink a whiskey before dinner and he munches on lettuce like a rabbit.
No, my dad does that.
Your
dad
does it
exactly.
Too?
My dad does that.
So, Baba, I'm here with a half Lebanese comedian and a Syrian comedian in the studio.
I'm aware of that. I heard your introduction.
How do you feel about that?
That's great. That's amazing.
Okay.
So much of them, the better.
Yeah.
The more the better. Well, next week I have next. I'll forget it. All right, bye, Dad. Okay, that was my pups there. Anything left? What did that remind you of? So you were quite respected at school for your.
I don't know if I was just lucky, and I think I might have just
you're,
been
you
lucky.
Just
I think
ooze
maybe
coolness,
I'm just
though,
maybe yeah. I'm maybe I'm just likable. I don't know.
Yeah,
don't
I think why. It might be. Esther, oh, what was your?
I completely flunked maths. So okay. My dad was just like, well, you know, she'll get married. It's fine. So that's...
To an English man.
Well, it kind of happened, didn't it?
Yeah,
well, he was kind of right, though, wasn't he?
Bring your kids up like in England, right. You're on the risk. So, yeah.
But were you ever like bullied, or were you one of the cool ones?
I imagine
you being one of the cool ones.
No, I was very much bullied.
Really?
Yeah, I was really bullied at school.
Oh, no.
Was it? Oh, sorry.
Was it, like, really serious? Were you depressed and stuff?
No, I was never depressed.
Did you ever listen to The Cure?
Radiohead.
Oh, okay, yeah, Radiohead.
Please, yeah, Radiohead, yeah. I did listen to a lot of Radiohead, but no, I think it gave me an amazing sense of humour.
Oh.
So I became clown.
This is what I was about to ask, was, like, is stand-up, like, the therapy
it
from,
is,
like, years of
it
bullying?
It is, Mo. Years of bullying, of being the only Arab kid in a very, very English school.
You can
yeah.
say that about most of us. Obviously, you are the exception, the golden standard, Mo.
Absolutely not.
Let's beat Mo up after this. Yeah. After this, we're going to beat him up. We're going to throw rocks at his head. We're going to take Mustafa's bullying guidelines. I love the fact that the kid who bullied just used to sit and slam his head against a wall. That's an amazing... And imagine how threatening that must be to see. Because no one would mess with you. If you just sat bashing your head against the wall, people would be like, I'm going to back off.
My dad was describing that to me, and then he talked about him chucking rocks up and headbutting him. And I was genuine reaction. I was like, this guy sounds fucking psychotic.
But I'm going to do that. Yeah. Next time my kids kick off, I'm just going to sit slamming my head against the wall like, you want some of this? And just watch them back off. Are you going to mess with me?
That
mummy
works.
Is bashing her head against the wall.
I can actually say was one of my mum's tactics.
Oh, was it?
She did hit me a lot, and I'm
Arab
very,
mums,
I'm forever grateful.
It.
Like, I'm so much better off for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, definitely.
But hit herself when she was really pissed off. Sometimes, rather than hit me, she'd go for something new, and she'd whack herself in the face.
No.
Or like punch herself or get the rolling pin
and
hit herself. Oh, wow.
And this is how angry you're making me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're a very angry people. Let's face it. We've got a short fuse. We're not very good at repressing the
anger.
But
it's the same when we're happy. We're not good at hiding that either.
No, we're not. We're not good at hiding anything.
And
I smash a lot of phones. I think that's my...
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm always...
You should
always
get one of those
throwing
Nokias,
phones.
I think.
I need to get one of
Talal's
radio-style Nokias that I can just throw
at all.
It's not mine.
It's K2K's.
K2K's. But I should stress, by the way, I did actually get bullied once in my life when I was in year 8. And it was just before I moved to Bromley. Not the reason why I moved, by the way. That's a separate thing. But it was, I don't know why as well, it was by a group of black girls on the top of the bus on the way to school. And, like, you know how you got, like, so I went to, a Catholic school and it was an all-boys school. But you know how you get, like, kind of, like, the girls' school version of that?
Oh, yeah, like, next door or down the road. Yeah.
And I don't know why they just picked, I mean, I'm really short now. I was really, really short in year 8. Like, I'm actually quite happy that I'm the height that I am now, which is embarrassing to say. But yeah,
good
I just
for you, man.
thanks a lot.
Say out loud, mate. We're here for you. We're here for you.
Proud. But no, it was just a bizarre, like, thing. Like, every time I get on the bus, they just go for me, and, like, in front of everyone, and just, like, it was.
Wow.
I would have thought, being the small kid, you would have been less of a target. because you can kind of like duck under the radar. See, for me, I was like a Viking, this tall girl, hair of a Viking. There was no way of hiding my hairiness kind of thing.
Can I say, in retrospect, I do, and I don't know if this makes me sound like a terrible person, I do think a couple of girls fancied me. I think it was like a Helga, Hey Arnold.
Yeah,
kind
I didn't
of vibe.
Have that issue.
I don't know. But
you
like,
say so.
Yeah,
did you have any? Did you have any schoolmates who kind of had your back?
Nobody did. But it was just like, yeah, I don't know why. But I think it was just they kind of because I grew like where I grew up in East London. Like I grew up like around people. Like they were last time I went there. You know, people are in jail. Like you don't see them anymore. Like it was quite a rough
East
area.
London is all in jail. Yeah, there's like three people like, in the school. Everyone else is
like, oh, where's Shabazz? You know, oh, he's in jail. You know,
if you're listening out there across the world, just so you know, East London is where
it's free.
It's where all the criminals come from.
Yeah.
We're currently,
the one
recording this in the yeah, the absolutely genteel and safe world of Kilburn, North West London.
No crimes here. But no, I'd grow up. Like as in, I knew like a lot of the rough people, and I never got any trouble as a result. So like you know, I used to play football and field in front of the house, and so I was always
quite
sheltered.
You were friends with the popular kids.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's just a, like a neighbourhood vibe, right? So like I never like had any issues.
Yeah.
Right. But when you get on the bus, it's like you're on the bus to school, and nobody from my particular neighbourhood was going that way. Right. And even though it's not far, it was like on the way to like, you know, Plaistow where it was. It was just on that journey, you know, more often than not, I didn't really have anyone around me. And yeah, I just wanted to, I don't know, I realise I'm taking everyone down a rabbit hole here. But
well, I can like, see where you're coming from. Look, I
just wanted to stress that I'm not perfect or cool or anything of these things.
I've been resisting this whole time. I've been resisting with every ounce of energy in my body not to completely take the piss out of you.
That's very sweet.
I can see where they were coming from.
I never stood a chance because I grew up in a very, very, very English town with a father that refused to not wear a jellaba wherever he went. So
what's
I was
a jellaba?
Jalabia.
Oh, the white dress.
Yeah,
right.
So so you couldn't really not stand out. So it's like, oh, you know, and during the time of the Gulf War, so it was pretty
good
much
for
like
him, man. What town was this?
Saffron Walden.
Okay, never even heard of it. So I've been getting song suggestions coming in over the Twitter feed. Follow us on the Bliss of the Week at Bliss of. What was it? The Weekly Bliss.
The Weekly Bliss.
Yeah.
Weekly Bliss.
That was it. Yeah, Weekly Bliss, because we're happy.
Yay! We're female happy. President. Woo!
Yeah.
Katie Hopkins is dead. Yeah.
So.
Bowie's alive.
You guys got any plugs? Where can people find you online? Where can people look up your gig dates?
Just look up estimanito.com and you'll see my gig dates there.
Awesome. Yeah. And I also I'm going to have a website very soon, mosafaf.com. And I should also give a shout out because I met a beautiful little lady who had a few injections today because she's going traveling for a bit, called Asteya. She's a Lithuanian singer. So I'm going to plug her instead.
Oh.
Again, being the martyr. Yeah. But Asteya, I'm not even sure if you're listening, but it was lovely to meet you and see you yesterday. And yeah, mosafaf.com, that's going to be soon. But just search me on Facebook and you'll find me.
All right. What is she on Spotify?
I don't know. Probably.
Okay. Send me some links. I'll play her songs on the show sometime.
Absolutely. Yeah, sounds great.
All right. Coming up next, we've got Knockout Ned on K2K Radio at 8 o'clock. And I've been your host, Talal Karkouti. I hope you've enjoyed a bit of a departure from reality with this show. Normally, this is an improv show, so we normally do improv comedy. So if that's your bag, you know, subscribe, like, share, poke, and all the other internet jargon words.
I don't know. I don't know. Moke. Is that a?
It's a terrible pun.
That's mo poking you. It's called a moke.
Moke. I'm moking Trump.
Me right now. It's uncomfortable.
I'm moking Trump. That's
and if you want to leave us a review on iTunes, on the iTunes podcast app, please leave us a review. It really helps get the word out about the show. Like the more positive reviews we get, the more the podcast gets featured on the app. So look, here's the deal, Dr. Listney. If you leave us a nice review. Or even if you leave me an insulting review, if you write anything, if you give us 5 stars and you can write literally anything, I will read it out on the show. And you never know, it might even inspire an improv scene, or you could use that opportunity to promote something, whatever you want. From now on, if you write a review on the podcast app for this show and give it 5 stars plus whatever you want to write under it, I will read it out word for word. That is the Lil Show promise. Now, before we sign off, let's play you some music. It's only like 1.75 months until Christmas.
Yeah.
So we're going to hear Jingle Bells by Frank Sinatra.
Woo!
And I hope you've enjoyed the show this week. Please take care of each other. Love each other. Talk to each other. Don't be afraid of talking. If someone has different opinions, it doesn't mean they're the enemy. In fact, they're just another potential friend. Talk, learn, and share. Enjoy yourselves. Lil Show out. Peace.
Jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to
sing along
on a one-horse open sleigh.
Hey!
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
You're listening to
K2K Radio.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.